Now, a surfer can jump on a wave too quickly, and in his impatience to ride a wave, can take a wave that's maybe not the best thing that God has for them. So, for instance, sometimes if you go to the beach this year, or if you've already been, you know this, that you're looking out there on the horizon and saying, wow, here comes some waves. Is this the one I should take? And sometimes if you take one too soon, there's a better one that comes right after that. But on the other hand, sometimes we wait for wave after wave after wave to come our way. And they're perfectly good waves, but we end up having a line of thinking that says the grass is always greener on the other side. That I'm just going to wait because maybe there's a better wave coming my way in just a minute. And so we wait and we wait and we wait while perfectly good waves that we were supposed to ride just continue to pass us by. So last week we began a series called Waves of Grace. And I talked about last week, if you were here, how God is creating waves of grace in our life, waves that continually come. A wave of grace is basically where God's love and grace intersect our everyday life, where God is at work in our life and it's really obvious, where His love is impacting us. And sometimes we don't realize that God's grace is coming our way, but God's grace continues to come like waves in the ocean over and over and over, intersecting our lives. And so today I want to talk with you about timing, about how to wait on God's timing, how to catch the wave that God has for you. Because like waves in the ocean, God is continually wanting to do something in your life. And so how do we know when it's the right wave to take? And how do we know how to wait on the right wave? And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8, and then we'll jump to 11. I'm going to actually have us read two passages of Scripture this morning, back to back. The second passage will come from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. So we'll start with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And hopefully by the end, you'll see how these marry together. So let's stand this morning in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. The words will also be on the screen, so no worries if you don't have your Bibles. But also, haven't said this in a while, we offer free Bibles out on the coffee table every Sunday. If you don't have one, pick one up, write your name in it, and let that be our gift to you. Let's hear the word from the Lord from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is King Solomon writing, and he says this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens." That seems really obvious, doesn't it? But he begins to tell about all the different things that we experience and really opposites. There's a time, he says in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. I need to hear that one. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, jumping to verse 11, it says this: "God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Now turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll be reading verses 27 through 31. And it says this. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. It says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the strong." Now that's not what it says, does it? You know, it's not the strong that needs strength. It's when we're weak, right? It's when we're really in a position where we feel weak that God imparts his strength. And that's what this passage says here. And then it says this: But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, last year on Valentine's Day, this past year on Valentine's Day, I worked out the perfect place to take Mandy, my wife, for a date night on Valentine's Day. You know, it's always scary. It's always hard for the men out there. For those of you who are the men out there, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to get a reservation for dinner on Valentine's Day. I called around and I called around and I found the perfect place. And so I had the reservation made. I was feeling like, all right, this year I am doing really good. It's going to be an awesome Valentine's Day. My wife's going to love it. I've all the forethinking instead of just planning at the last minute. I never do that. You know what I'm saying? So I was really, really excited because I'd strategized and I called ahead and I had the reservation. It was at a particular time. And after doing all the legwork, I was expecting a really like smooth Valentine's Day as far as all the things to come together. But when we got to the restaurant, there were cars everywhere and I strutted in because I have a reservation, right? And suddenly we walk into the doors and it was packed in there. Yes, everybody was sitting down at tables, but there was a line from the hostess station way, 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 way back, like all the way to the from one side of the restaurant to the other. And of course, I did what all men would do in that time. Excuse me, I have a reservation. Excuse me. And I started moving everybody out of the way, trying to get through the line. And I soon found out that so did everybody else. Everybody had a reservation. And so here I was and thinking, what in the world? Like, my reservation's in 2 minutes. And we have to get in this really long line. And so reluctantly and kind of frustrated, I went to the very back of the line, way on the other side of the restaurant, waiting to speak to the hostess or the hostess station. And, you know, being the guy, I tried to fix things. I tried to kind of sneak up there and say, hey, do I need to wait in this line? I said that a couple times, seeing if I would get a different response. Maybe you know what that's like. But it was one of those things where I felt like they had forgotten about us as I waited in the very back of the line. And I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. I hate waiting for anything in my life, especially at a restaurant where I've already made a reservation. The table should be set and ready to go. And here we are having to go to the back of the line. And in the middle of that, Mandy just looked at me and smiled. And she said something to the effect of, it's okay. We're going to have a good time. And it was one of those things where I realized, like, I could have gotten really mad about this. And in this particular time, like, we were supposed to, like, I felt like we had been, you know, somebody did a one-up on us. And everybody had jumped in front of us. And here we stand in this long line waiting on everybody else to be served instead of us. And she looks at me and says, it's going to be okay. We're going to have a fun night. And so it was one of those things that made me relax, and it made me realize that even as we waited in this long line that maybe shouldn't have happened, there was even purpose as we stood in that line, because Mandy and I ended up having an even longer Valentine's Day meal, our night meal, than we even expected in the first place. We spent some time talking together. We ended up having an even longer time to communicate. And so what I realized is what seemed to have no purpose had a lot of purpose. And I tell you that story because sometimes waiting can feel like you're stuck in the middle of, and really at the back of the line, of watching all these people lined up waiting at the hostess station, ready to talk to God, and they're getting all their requests met, and here you have to go to the very back of the line, and you're waiting for watching everybody else go to the line and seeing God answer people's prayers. And as you stand in the back of the line, you're saying, God, have you forgotten about me? I thought I made a reservation. Is my request, is the appointment that I've made with you not important to you? Do I have to stand in the back of the line waiting just like everybody else before you finally get to me? And really, this is the same worry the people of God had in Isaiah chapter 40. This is what they were really wrestling with. They weren't at a restaurant, but they were wondering, God, have you forgotten about us? Are we standing in the back of the line waiting on you to meet every other request, and have you forgotten about ours? Because as I said last week, they were in a situation not to be exiled. They were about to be sent off from the land that they knew, from the land that God had promised them, and exiled by their enemies to a foreign land. And in the middle of that season, people kept wondering, God, do you even care what's going on in our situation? God, have you forgotten about us? God, are you still working in this situation? And to that, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, speaks in verse 27 by saying this. He says, why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause, or my claim is disregarded by my God? Why do you say that? In fact, they thought that their requests might be, they might be stuck on hold in the claims department trying to talk to God, and their request is, and their claim is just stuck waiting and waiting in the claims department. You know what I'm talking about. If you've called in before to make a claim for a company before, where you call in and you're ready, you think you're going to be the first one in line, and suddenly this awesome automated voice comes on the line, you know, and they say, "Thank you for calling. Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line, and a representative will be with you shortly." And you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And you know that often, the more you wait, it's not like things are going to get done any quicker. And maybe ever. And so you wait, and you wait, and then a minute later, you hear the same voice again. "Please stay on the line. A representative will be with you shortly." And you're thinking, look, don't say my call is important, because if my call was important, you would have somebody answering my request. You would have somebody, a person right there that I could talk to. But we keep getting pushed to the very back of the line. And this is exactly how the people felt in the book of Isaiah. And in the middle of their feelings of being forgotten, God reminds them in verse 28. He says this: "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." In other words, God is saying to them this. He's saying, look, I've been here forever. In fact, I created forever. I created you, and I know the time and the season for everything. I have this under control. In fact, I haven't forgotten about you. You're not stuck in the back of the claims department, and you're not standing in the back of the line. That I haven't grown tired or weary in your situation. I'm still working. That maybe you don't understand my timing, but as the one who holds time in his hands, I want you to trust me. So he doesn't say, hey, I'm going to fix all your problems and all your circumstances are going to be better. What he says is he puts them in perspective, reminding them who he is, reminding them that he is in control of any of their circumstances. In fact, in the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, there's two words for time. One of the words we understand very well. It's chronos. It's the word kind of like time on a watch. We all operate by chronos time. We try to book it to church on chronos time. We set dinner reservations on chronos time. It's basically sequential order. That's basically what chronos time is. It's basically as you look at a clock, and we expect God to move on chronos time, 7 o'clock on a Saturday. But there's another word in the Greek for time, and it's a different word. It's a different meaning, and it's the word kairos. There's chronos and kairos. Kairos is a different meaning. It means perfect time. It means in just the right time, or in the fullness of time, as you hear in the Bible. It's not time as we know it on a watch. It's basically saying that it's not according to what to our schedules or our watch on a clock. It's basically God does things in his perfect timing. It's how God delivers things to us. And so oftentimes I want God to move in chronos time. God, I want you to do something to influence my situation, to help my family at 7 o'clock on a Saturday in chronos time. But sometimes God always works in the fullness of time, in perfect timing, in kairos time. And I say that because in the book of Habakkuk, that's kind of a funny word, Habakkuk, right? He's a prophet. And in chapter 1, the people of God were wrestling with a very similar thing. God, have you forgotten about us? Are we stuck in the back of the line, like waiting on you to answer everyone else's requests? Have you forgotten about me? And in the middle of that, the prophet Habakkuk ends up speaking to the people. And he says in verse 5, he says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed." Check this out. He says, "For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." I love that, because it reminds me that when we expect God to move in chronos time, on the timing that we want, that sometimes God is always doing things in kairos time in our life. In just the right timing, God shows up. In just the right timing, God delivers us. And it reminds me that God, sometimes we may not see what God is doing. We may think that maybe God has us in a waiting room and we're just waiting and waiting and waiting. But it reminds us that God is always working. That God might be doing something in your life and through your life and in the life of your family that you may not even realize it. And it may be something that's so amazing that you wouldn't even believe it if God told you right now, but God is brewing something in your life. God is creating this wave of grace and invites you to be a part of it. In fact, just because we're waiting doesn't mean that God has forgotten about you. And just because you have to wait doesn't mean that God isn't moving and doing what's best in your life. Because after all, waiting doesn't mean that God isn't blessing you. And for some of you, that may be really groundbreaking because you feel like we're having to wait and having to wait and having to wait. God, where are you? And sometimes God is creating something and doing something behind the scenes in your life that you wouldn't believe, even if he told you. Waiting isn't always a sign of that God isn't blessing you. In fact, Abraham, you know Abraham. Abraham had to wait 25 years before God gave him and Sarah their first child. Joseph had to wait 13 years of being abandoned and falsely imprisoned before he took over Egypt, the leadership in Egypt. Moses waited for 40 years before God called him while he was tending sheep in the field to, hey, come and deliver my people from slavery in Egypt. David waited 14 years before the throne was his. Jesus waited 30 years before he began his public ministry, the ministry that's changed all of our lives forever and ever. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he kept telling everybody, my time and the hour has not yet come. And so just because God says wait doesn't mean that he isn't blessing you. Just because God says wait doesn't mean he isn't blessing you. Sometimes God is stirring up something so amazing that you wouldn't believe it even if he told you. But in order to experience that wave of grace in your life, sometimes we have to wait on Kairos timing, on his timing. So I ask you this morning, what are you waiting for? During my first month of seminary, if I can be really open and honest with you, I went through kind of a strange season in my life. It was really a short season. It was a season where I was surrounded by amazing professors and some amazing people who had taken off to seminary, who were learning about the Lord, and it was like everything in my life should have been really, really good. But for whatever reason, I found that I was almost I realized that one day I was almost completely numb. I don't know if you ever felt like that before, but it's kind of like you're around and you're watching everything go on, but you're not really present. And I felt like I remember going to a worship service that was one of the best worship services I've been a part of in my life, where about 300 people were singing praises to God. And I remember thinking, you know, I was singing and doing all the motions, but I remember God wasn't really doing anything, and I didn't feel like God was doing anything in me. And I remember coasting through things and feeling like everything was numb around me. And it was like life was happening all around me and I wasn't there, and it scared me to death. And if you've ever been in a season like that, you really have two options. One, you can just continue to coast and camp out there and just continue going through the motions and not feeling anything. Or the second thing is you can beg God to wake up your soul. And so that's what I did. And so when I realized after not being able to really feel anything and feeling like my relationship with God was feeling numb for some reason. It's not always about feeling, but feeling numb to life. I went to my dorm room and I started praying, God, I need you to wake me up. I don't know what is going on here, but I don't want to go another day in this kind of state. I need you to wake up my soul and make me alive in the way that only you can. And it was really just a short season, because the next day it was like God turned on the light bulb of my life. And finally, I was able to see things in different colors. And I mean, not literally, figuratively, but I was able to experience things. And it was like I was really living again. But it's always been a reminder for me that we're always dependent on God to make us alive. We're always dependent on God to give us strength and to wake us up. But it's reminded me that even in a period of a valley, that God has purpose in those valley seasons of drawing us closer to him. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there's a season and a time for everything. And for me, as much as I love mountaintop experiences, we all love mountaintop experiences. You know, it's a time when God does something really powerful at a camp that we go to, or maybe it's a time where our family is just really unified, maybe around Thanksgiving or maybe not. But it's those mountaintop experiences in our life. And I don't know about you, but I always want to camp out there on those mountaintops and just stay there. But what I've learned is that God didn't create us just for the mountaintops, but God creates seasons in our lives, even valley periods, in order to draw us closer to him. Because if we're always on the mountaintop, we might forget that we're highly dependent on connecting ourselves with him. And so there's a purpose for the mountaintop. If you're on a mountaintop right now, praise the Lord. Great. Let that be a time of great inspiration and to propel you forward. But if you're in the valley, I want you to know that God is, it doesn't mean that God isn't blessing you. That maybe some of the greatest blessing that you might encounter is when you're in the valley. Because it's in the valley that it causes you to cry out for God and connects you with him in a new sort of way. and prepares you for those seasons in between the mountain and the valley. That God has season, God has purpose in every single season. Sometimes we're waiting on something. We always say we're waiting on something. Sometimes we're waiting because we want God to deliver us from something. Or maybe we want God to fix something in our circumstances. But maybe God's purpose, God's primary purpose in a valley season isn't to fix your circumstance, but maybe God wants to use it to transform you. Maybe God has work to do in this season in and through you. And so instead of looking ahead at the next season and that next stage of life and saying, it will be better on the other side, the grass is always greener on the other side, then maybe God has something for you right now that he wants you to be a part of, that he wants to teach you. And so I want you to know that there's purpose on the mountaintop and there's purpose in the valley. And pay attention to what God wants to do. So God may have you in a period right now where you're waiting, on something. And that's very real. That happens, and that's okay. But you also may be in a season where God is saying, go. Now is the time. This is it. Get on your board and ride this wave. What are you waiting for? In fact, one of the things that I've realized is that waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that we never move quickly on anything. It doesn't mean we're just waiting around and waiting on God to do everything for us and we never jump on our board and actually ride. Sometimes, although patience is a virtue, and we should be patient, and that's one that I have to learn more than anybody. Sometimes patience, though, can actually be procrastination. That sometimes we've had our marching orders from the Lord, and we know exactly what God wants us to do, but for whatever reason, we keep stalling and stalling and stalling and procrastinating to go right now where God is calling us to go and what God is calling us to do. Because maybe we're looking for another sign from God. Or maybe we're trying to say, God, I'm just not sure if this is going to be okay. So just make it really clear. Just show me the end of the story so that I know it's okay to walk. And what God is saying, I want you to trust me. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you wait and you wait and you wait. Sometimes waiting on the Lord means that while we wait, we get to work. And so one of the things that I think as far as understanding what it means to wait on the Lord is that waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you pitch a tent like you're camping. You pitch a tent in your circumstances and you just camp out there and fall asleep and wait on God to fix everything in our lives. That's not what waiting on the Lord means. Because some people will wait their whole life, wait around their whole life waiting for God to do something for them that God has already done. And some people will spend their whole life waiting on God to give them things that God has already given. Sometimes we pray, God, give us more grace or help us here. God, save us, when God has already done the work to do that. God is already working in your life. God has already given you many of the things we wait for. And that's why Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this, but those who hope in the Lord, or as some translations say, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It doesn't sound like a bunch of people standing around waiting on God to fix something for them. It sounds like a bunch of people who aren't blaming God for not moving in their life. It sounds like people who get up and soar, they walk, they run, and as they take steps forward, they trust God every step of the way that God will renew their strength. Sometimes the way we wait on the Lord is we keep taking steps forward, remembering that God is with us every step of the way. And so when you think of waiting on the Lord, don't think of somebody pitching a tent, laying down asleep. Think instead of a waiter in a restaurant. A waiter in a restaurant, if you're a good waiter, if you're going to make your customers happy, you certainly don't hang out by the drink station and just stand there and wait. You don't get any tips from me if you do that. And so a waiter, their job is predicated on getting up, walking around, and serving the people around them. Can I get you a drink? How can I help you here? How is your stay? How is your meal today? Helping and serving in that kind of way. How can I serve you? And so instead of thinking of it as a waiter, maybe a better term is a server. That maybe instead of waiting on the Lord where you're just standing there, maybe it means to wait on the Lord as being a server. Say, God, how can I serve you today? How can I love you more deeply today? God, I need you to fill me. What do you want to teach me right now, God? As I wait, I want to move forward and I want to serve you with everything that I've got. How do you want to use me? How do you want to work through me? Let me serve you right now in this circumstance where I am. And so no season in your life is meaningless. During every single season, we can spend time serving and waiting on the Lord, serving him gladly with all of our heart. As God is sending waves of grace in our life, we don't have to keep looking ahead to the next thing. But when God says go, God always says go and serve him. When God says go, we have to be willing to serve him in the middle of our circumstances. Because waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that we're waiting on God to fix everything for us. It means that we get to work, finding ways to serve him and to love him and trusting that he's with us every step of the way. I want you to know that you have all the grace, as God is sending waves of grace all the time to you, you have all the grace you need to wait on the Lord, to be a server for the Lord. So this morning, what are you waiting for?